Welcome to the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I'm your host, the one, the only, Willie Jackerson. All right, so I have a really awesome doubleheader for you this weekend. We had a new song come out from a band called The Cost, and so I do a reaction to that. Go ahead and check that out. Did that earlier, and now I'm covering this is a really kind of a funny thing that we've debated a lot, if we are actually true Americans. It was one of our previous presidents. I always called him Obama, but he was in a famous speech saying that if we're Native Americans, then we're not Americans. And to me, that was kind of a divisive statement, because there's Americans all over the world. And, you know, there's a lot of Americans that aren't actually on the North American continent that are still Americans. So it's going to be pretty heated to kind of, you know, debate this whole thing. But I really appreciate everyone joining every week. And make sure and go out and check out the Willie's Mile High Metal playlist on Spotify. We've really done a good job getting more songs on there. I'm not really sure what's going on. I'm anywhere floating between 17 and 20 hours, somewhere in there. But there, I don't know if stuff's getting taken down. I don't know for sure. I thought at one point I was at 20 hours, but I just looked and I was at like 17 hours. But that's still a lot of hours of music. And you'll never hear the same song again twice if... one first step, you subscribe to the Spotify Premium. That way it takes out the ads for you. And then for two, if you just put that thing on shuffle and just crank them out. I listen to the Willie's Mile High Metal playlist all the time, and I'm always surprised with all the cool songs that are in there. Just stuff that you probably never heard. A lot of stuff's not really mainstream, and I think you'll enjoy. So thanks for joining every week. I really appreciate it, and I really hope that you enjoy the episode this week. And remember, make every day an easy day. Peace. Hope y'all have a great week. I just want to give a big shout out to all the followers of the Willie Jackerson Experiment. I have actually recently become monetized, and I really owe it to all you guys for checking me out every week. It's been a lot of fun. Please consider to sign up and get a monthly $5 a month sponsorship, and, you know, just buy me a beer every month. You know, it's not a big deal, but I really appreciate it. Whether you guys subscribe or not, I'm going to continually bring the best content I possibly can. But if you do subscribe, I will make sure that I do something special, whether it be give you a shout out, you know, take one of your requests and do like an episode or whatnot. I really would not be here if it wasn't for my fans out there that have been tuning in and listening every week. And I really totally appreciate it, and it means a lot to me. I mean, I'm probably 4 weeks away now from my 3-year anniversary, so I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys tuning in every week. So appreciate it, and check out the link in the podcast episode, and feel free to buy me a beer every month. I appreciate it. Peace.
Faster than a bullet. Terrifying scream.
In rage
and full
of anger.
He's half man and half
machine.
Fry
the metal
monster,
breathing smoke and fire.
closing in with a vengeance. Sorry.
Prime.
He
is
the pain killer.
This is
the pain killer.
Planet.
Devastating.
Mankind.
On its knees.
The savior comes
from out
the skies.
In answer to their pleas.
Through boiling
cloud of thunder.
Blasting
bolts of steel.
Evil
going under
deadly
wings. He
is
the pain killer.
This is
the
pain killer.
I really love Priest.
Where are you, by the way? Here, right? Right? Where are you?
Yes.
I knew I liked you when I met you backstage.
Faster than
later.
Louder than an atom bomb. Chromium plated boiling metal. Brighter than a thousand suns.
We will make the world metal again.
I mean, it's really important for us to remember our history. You know, unless you're one of the first Americans, a Native American, you came from someplace else. Somebody brought you. The Irish, who left behind a land of famine. The Germans, who fled persecution. The Scandinavians, who arrived eager to pioneer out west. The Polish, the Russians, the Italians, the Chinese, the Japanese, the West Indians, the huddled masses who came through Ellis Island on one coast and Angel Island on the other. Now, all those folks, before they were us, they were them.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside.
say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American. Whew.
Today on North 02, we are going to be talking about the first Americans. When I am talking about America, I am talking about all of the Americas and not just the United States. So first of all, let's talk about how people even got into the Americas in the first place. There are a few ways to get here, but some are more likely than others. The first is to travel through Beringia. Beringia is the land between what is now Russia and Alaska. Although it is submerged nowadays, back in the Pleistocene during glacial maximums, it was above the sea level. Most people, including myself, thought that the first Americans crossed into the Americas on an ice bridge, but that is not true. Beringia was no ice bridge, but rather it was covered in vegetation and many animals. Mammoths, bears, big cats, and many more Pleistocene megafauna ruled the land. A voyage across a landscape would have been dangerous. The men that crossed these lands were skilled hunters and survival experts. Their weapons had deadly sharp stone tips that were capable of taking down the largest beasts of their time. Napping arrowheads and spear points is very hard. Many people spend years of their life trying to master the craft, but still don't reach the perfection of a Clovis point. These men survived and perhaps thrived in the highly competitive landscape. Although Beringia didn't have many glaciers, North America did. In order to get into the lower 48, they would have had to pass through an opening between the Laurentide and the Cordillera glaciers. This opening was a narrow passage that would periodically open and allow them to pass through. In between these ice sheets, the land would be barren. It would take years for plants and animals to move back into this narrow strip. If man were to pass through this corridor immediately after it opened up, then they would have been faced with a barren landscape trampled by the unimaginable force of a glacier. Like I said, this passage would open periodically. Archaeologists believe that this passage was not always open, so humans may have lived in Beringia for a long time, and they might have not been able to come into America sooner. It is thought that it opened around 20,000 years ago, and then closed for a while, and then reopened 13,000 years ago. These are the times that the major migrations are thought to have happened in the Americas. Besides that route, humans may have also traveled along the coast. The coast may have been ice-free or covered in glaciers. Either way, they could have rowed boats or just walked along the shore. A migration happened around 15,000 years ago along the coast of Canada when the ice corridor was frozen over. This would have let them easily travel miles along the shore. It is not too far out to assume that these people had boats. This was 20,000 years ago, and by this time humans were probably already using dugout canoes. We do not have evidence of boats from this time in this place, but an absence of evidence does not mean evidence of absence. The last more far-out theory is that humans may have came across the Pacific Ocean. We know that seafaring cultures in the Pacific have existed for thousands of years. These sailors seem primitive, but they can travel thousands of miles to tiny isolated islands with pinpoint accuracy. It is possible that humans came to the Americas from cultures in Oceania, and there is some genetic evidence to back this up, but it is still very unlikely that these traces of DNA came from Oceania. There is a strange similarity in DNA from Australasians and people of South America. It has not been fully explained, and much more likely this DNA came from populations that migrated through the Bering Land Bridge than crossed the Pacific, but again, anything is possible. Professor Rasmus Nielsen of UC Berkeley believes that these traces of Australasian DNA are caused by later migrations into North America around 8,000 years ago. He believes that these people traveled along the Pacific shore before settling in South America. Besides this strange pocket of Australasian DNA, Native Americans are pretty genetically similar. So much so that archaeologists believe that only a few large migrations happened from Beringia. What I assumed before making this video was that small family groups of people over a large period of time crossed the Bering Land Bridge, but it seems that there were indeed only a few mass migrations from Beringia into the lower 48. These people were the ancestors of Native Americans. The earliest people crossed in the Americas at the latest 23,000 years ago. Any later than this, and the evidence becomes few and far between. So in summary, the earliest people to cross into the Americas did so by crossing the Bering Land Bridge. Large migrations happened on several occasions, which is why the genetic diversity of Americas is relatively low. So now, let's talk about how bias in archaeology stopped new evidence from being discovered regarding the settling of the Americas. For a long time, it was thought that the Clovis people were the first to settle in the Americas. This is not an irrational thought because of their famous Clovis points that have been discovered all over the place that they think they migrated from. The problem occurred when a lot of evidence appeared that humans had been in the Americas for much longer. The archaeological community responded by calling these people pseudoscientists and discrediting those who challenged the Clovis first mindset. The mindset is now so obscure that anyone who considers themselves an intellectual will agree that the Clovis were not the first people to set foot in the Americas. Some of the evidence to disprove this theory was an amazing 15,600-year-old footprint found in Chile. This is some of the earliest discovered evidence of human presence in the Americas, and it is even crazier that this was found all the way down in Chile. So now it is time to talk about the super controversial 130,000-year-old mastodon remains that may have been butchered by humans in the Americas. If true, this discovery changes so many things we thought we knew about prehistoric humans. The team who made the discovery believes a species of prehistoric hominin occupied what is now California 130,000 years ago. This is a very bold and disputed claim, but it is based on the strange remains of the mastodon skeleton that looks like they were butchered by humans. It is now widely accepted that humans were in the Americas by at least 15,000 years ago, but the claims that they were here 130,000 years ago is just ridiculous. But this was because it's not by humans or Homo sapiens that butchered this mastodon, but possibly a different species of human like Denisovans or Homo erectus. The strange remains show many signs of butchering by humans like weird fractures of the bone and circular stones nearby. All of the bones were spread around in weird configurations and they all seem to come from the same mastodon. It is also very hard to imagine any predator has the ability to crack open a mastodon bone. They also found scratch marks on the rocks nearby. In a test, researchers did the same thing with round rocks and elephant bones. Similar marks appeared on the rocks used to smash elephant bones. Small chips at the site fit neatly into the rocks, suggesting that they had broken off while people used them as hammers. The bones and rocks rested on a sandy floodplain by a meandering stream. The researchers argued that these couldn't have been brought together by a violent current, and that people must have carried the rocks to the mastodon. The reason that these people would have broke the bones of the mastodon was to eat the nutritious bone marrow. Rolf D. Mandel, a geoarchaeologist at the University of Kansas, found it hard to see how the bones and rocks could have come together without the help of people. Many think that the bones were fractured during excavation of the site, but this seems to have been ruled out because of the fractures happened while the bones were still unfossilized. So as you can see by all this evidence, these mastodon bones may have indeed been butchered by prehistoric man. I am being a little optimistic here, but in reality, I doubt that these bones were butchered by prehistoric man. We will have to wait for more discoveries to be made in the future to see if humans were really in the Americas all those years ago. It would be really cool if it was an entire new species of Homo that has been undiscovered all these years. That would just be a mind-blowing discovery in archaeology and anthropology. So anyways, thanks for watching this video. I hope this helped you guys understand that the first Americans likely arrived 23,000 years ago, if not later. There's plenty of discoveries still being made about our human past, and I hope you know understanding the story of mankind is far from completion. So make sure to point out any scientific inaccuracies I may have made in this video, and suggest new videos in the comment section below. I'll see you guys in the next episode of North 02. See ya.
Team America has once again pissed off the entire world. And now some Hollywood celebrities are lashing out.
I went to Iraq. Before Team America showed up, it was a happy place. They had flowery meadows and rainbow skies and rivers made of chocolate where the children danced and laughed and played with gumdrop smiles.
This is a video by Real Life Lore, done in a collaboration with Wendover Productions.
What is a country? The traditional definition is a state with sovereignty over a geographic area, with a permanent population, defined territory, one government, and the capacity to enter into relations with other sovereign states. So, does the United States perfectly match this description? And perhaps even more importantly, what exactly is the United States? When you say the words United States of America, you sort of assume that the country is in America. But that's not really the case. America means the continents of North and South America, but only 99.5% of the United States of America is actually located here, and 1.6% of all Americans live outside of America. Most of this non-American yet still American land is located on islands in both the Caribbean and Pacific. In the Pacific, we have Hawaii, which is the only state out of 50 to be located outside of America, and a bunch of other islands that together make up something called U.S. territory. Territories are part of the U.S. and are divided between incorporated and unincorporated territory. But they are all directly governed by Congress, which means that they are essentially ruled by what the 50 states decide, all without any representation for themselves and without the ability to even vote for president. The furthest away of these territories is Guam, which is a little chunk of America 3,633 miles away from the nearest state, Hawaii, and 7,912 miles away from the U.S. Capitol building, where the laws governing the island are decided. There are 160,000 people who live on Guam, and there are four other island territories with people on them: the Northern Mariana Islands, American Samoa, the U.S. Virgin Islands, and Puerto Rico. There are eight other islands scattered around there too, but nobody lives on those, so they're not really that important. The U.S. Constitution only partially applies in all of these territories, which is getting more and more awkward all the time in a place like Puerto Rico, which has a higher population than these 21 actual states. Puerto Rico may very well someday in the future actually become the 51st state, but a place that likely won't anytime soon is this tiny island in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific. This is Palmyra Atoll, home of nobody but the only incorporated territory of the United States, meaning that the U.S. Constitution fully applies here and anybody born here for whatever reason automatically becomes a U.S. citizen. Weirdly, the person who is given the right to administer this island is the U.S. President, which I'm sure is probably very high on the list of presidential things to be doing. The president also has to worry about some U.S. land that is contested with other countries, like these two uninhabited islands covered in bird poop that are claimed by Colombia, or these islands off the coast of Maine that are claimed by both the US and Canada, which strangely means that if you were to give birth on either of them, your child would automatically gain both American and Canadian citizenship. And perhaps most controversially of all, this piece of land in Cuba called Guantanamo Bay. It's actually not a small space. Guantanamo Bay is larger than five UN-recognized sovereign states, and is about the same size as the island of Jersey between England and France. Cuba has laid claim to the territory ever since 1959, but the United States has so far decided to keep it instead. Now that's all of America that isn't actually located in America, but what about the other 99.5% of the country that we've been neglecting so far? Well, that would be the 49 states that make up the rest of the United States along with Hawaii. The states have the power to elect representatives that are sent to Congress, which creates laws for the entire union. The individual states are granted a considerable amount of power on their own by Congress, and they share this power with the federal or the national government. The states and federal government are both allowed to pass their own separate laws, which has caused a huge amount of trouble in the nation's past over which laws are more valid. The Civil War answered the question once and for all, though, however. Federal law always wins over state law. The Civil War also decided that states never have the right to leave the Union once they have joined, even today, so a state could actually vote to leave the Union, but it would not ever be recognized by the federal government. States also cannot ever declare a federal law to be invalid, but they can kind of get around that by legalizing things that the federal government has declared illegal. The most famous instance of this is marijuana, which continues to be illegal everywhere in the United States on the federal level, but has been fully legalized for all uses in the states of Nevada, Maine, Colorado, Washington, California, Massachusetts, Alaska, and Oregon. Since federal law always wins over state law, the federal government could, in theory, at any time enter any of these states with federal law enforcement and arrest the hundreds of thousands of people participating in legal state laws but illegal federal laws. The only reason why they haven't yet is just because they've decided that it isn't worth their time. But if states can ignore federal law or even legalize things that are technically illegal, then what does that say about our definition of a country, particularly the sovereignty part? Further, how many people in states identify more with their own individual state over the actual country of the United States? Despite how we just discussed earlier the illegality of secession, the states that continue to have active separatist movements regardless of that are Alaska, Hawaii, California, Oregon, Washington, Vermont, New Hampshire, the former Confederate States of America, and most famously, Texas. The only remotely significant ones, however, are Texas, Hawaii, and probably biggest of all, Alaska, where the Alaska Independence Party is currently polling at around 6% of the population and even got their candidate elected governor of the state back in 1990. And finally, there is one more significant way that you can challenge the definition of a country in regards to the United States, the defined territory part that we went over in the beginning. This map leaves out the numerous American Indian reservations located within the US, of which there are 326. Many of them are very small, but 12 reservations are actually larger than the state of Rhode Island, and the biggest one, the Navajo Nation Reservation, is about the same size as West Virginia, or Latvia for the Europeans watching this video, and has a population of nearly 200,000 people. Together, these reservations have a population of over 1 million people and take up a space the size of Idaho, or a little larger than Belarus. These reservations are granted something called tribal sovereignty, which gives them the rights to govern themselves within the territory of the United States. The federal government recognizes these reservations sort of like independent countries, calling them officially domestic dependent nations. They have jurisdiction over their own land and can pass laws separate or even in violation of both state and federal laws. Which is why the largest casino in the world is located on one of these reservations in Oklahoma, despite the fact that gambling is illegal in Oklahoma. You can gamble anywhere on the territory of the reservation, but as soon as you step off back into state territory, it suddenly becomes instantly illegal again. Reservations sometimes even have their own courts, their own police forces, elect their own president, and even lead foreign delegations abroad as representatives not of the United States, but of the reservation. Therefore, you could actually really draw the United States to look like this if you take out all of the American Indian reservations, which are extremely independent anyway. But all of the remaining states can have their own unique laws and even disregard some federal laws that are passed by Congress. So the only territory that is 100% governed by the federal government is the city of Washington, D.C., which isn't a part of any state, and the islands that make up the U.S. territories. So that really begs the question again, what exactly is the United States, and is the United States actually a country?
So the European Union is actually a lot like the United States. They are both composed of a bunch of different states. They both have open borders. They each have a common currency, a central government with representatives from the different states. The only big difference is that the United States is a country, and the European Union is made up of countries. So I made a video over at my channel, Wendover Productions, answering the question, is the European Union a country?
Okay, so go ahead and check out Wendover Productions' video next. If you enjoyed this video about the United States, then you'll certainly enjoy his video about the European Union. I hope that you'll subscribe to my channel by clicking here. You can visit my Patreon and receive cool rewards like voting on future video topics by clicking over here. And as always, thank you so much for watching.
godless bastards step on my land. How dare you touch my daughters and sons?
This will be your last test unless you do. Put your two-headed eagle into your ass and run!
Americans are getting ready to pray. I don't suppose they'll have any problems seeing the ball with their big American eyes.
Yeah, good thing they had those big eyes so that they don't have to rely on that amazing American intellect.
Oh, you said that stings.
I just zinger. Hey,
what you call white American person with a PhD in the physics and the math?
I don't know. Right.
Stupid American.
Ah! No, boy.
American is down. It's number, I don't know. All American look alike. Ah! My, I haven't seen an American die like that since Abraham Lincoln.
Dude, that is not cool. You're going to get us into trouble again. You want to hear my impersonation of American?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, I really, really want that. That looks good.
Hey, let me try.
I'll use my credit card. Do you have any non-dairy creamer?
Yes! Y'all come back now, here.